Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today for Tell Del Tuesday is Clint Taylor out of Meridian, Mississippi. Clint is a new investor, and we're happy to have him on the show and find out what new investors are doing and thinking at this time. Clint, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del.
Let's talk about what it was that made you want to be a real estate investor.
Going back to college, I've always really looked into investing. I wasn't real sure what I wanted to do. I dabbled in the stock market some in college and played around with it. But as I got into podcasts, I always kept seeing real estate come up as the way to go. Well, fast forward to when I graduated college, we got married, and me and my wife sat down and made some goals. And I just wrote down on one of our goals that I wanted to have 15 rental houses. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it or how any of it worked. I had no idea, but I was going to set that goal out there. So then I started looking into it a little more, and I got on the Dave Ramsey train. And so in my mind, you know, I was going to have to save up money, buy these houses with cash, and then also have cash to rehab it. And it just seemed like those 15 houses wasn't ever going to happen.
That's an interesting thing. I'd like to dig into that a little bit further, if you don't mind, because a lot of people get stuck on the Dave Ramsey process, okay? And like I said, I've always said that Dave Ramsey has some good stuff about, you know, understanding, controlling your finances, not overspending, you know, blah, blah, blah. But his process really is basically for kindergartners and grade school people. It's really not a process for a grown adult to do what he says to do. So once you got into that, what was it? I want to hear two things. Why were you first attracted to it? And then let's counter that. When and how did you realize that that wasn't going to get you there?
So what first got me attracted was, you know, being able to use my whole paycheck, not having to make payments every time I got a paycheck. But, I mean, that's all fine if you're not looking at investing, per se, or wanting to use your money now. If you're wanting to wait and have your money whenever you're 65 or 70, then, all right, then that's fine. But, we started thinking about having kids and everything, and I was like, well, I want to have, you know, enough money now to where I can spend time with my kids and we can go on good vacation and stuff like that. And I started realizing doing it the Dave Ramsey way, I wouldn't be able to buy enough houses to be able to, you know, have enough income coming in to be able to do the things that we had goals of doing.
How long were you into it before you figured that out?
I'd say probably about 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months. We were paying down really heavy. I mean, we were freshly married, so we didn't have very much debt anyway. So
okay. Well, that's interesting. I'm always curious about that because it's not that Dave's ideas are just bad, going to destroy your life. They're just simple and very slow in the process of trying to do it. All right, so you started looking for something else while you were in the Dave Ramsey program? Is that what happened? You started looking again?
While I was in the Dave Ramsey, I started playing around on the stock market again, thinking if I could get some money built up, then, you know, maybe I could have enough money to buy one of these, you know, houses that's run down that's $20,000, and I can just go ahead and buy it, and then I can start saving up some money to rehab it. So.
Wow. That's scary.
Yep.
To buy a house that doesn't make you any money and it needs renovation and you spend all your money and you're broke, that would be a scary way to do this stuff.
Yep. And then fast forward, I have an aunt and uncle who are lead investors with Lifestyle. So I saw them posting on Facebook some deals that they had done. And I didn't even know that they invested in real estate. So I just got on the phone and called him one day, and I was like, I didn't know you invested in real estate. You don't ever talk to us about that. And, you know, I told him about how I had set these goals and everything about what I wanted to do, and I told him about my 15 houses. And I think I had I had on the goal that I wanted to do it by the time I was 45. And he just told me, he was like, man, that's slow. And then he sent me the link to the free workshop. And then I got on the free workshop and saw that, and then got my wife to watch Free Workshop with me again, and we're like, all right, we need to look into this.
Great. So how did you take the two-day class? Was it online, or did you go somewhere?
So we did it in the four-part online, so we could get the kiddos to bed early and sit down and really focus on it. So we did it that way.
Okay. And what was your aha when you started watching this stuff, listening to this stuff? What came and hit you and said, wow, that's what I'm missing right there?
So there was a few of them for me. One of the big ones, obviously, was the financing. And then there's two parts of that. Not only what I found out that I could buy these houses, I can move quicker because I didn't have to come out of pocket as much. But also, if I was trying to pay for with cash, then I'm losing some of the five ways to make money. So whenever we use financing, you're also grabbing just as much appreciation, but you're also getting the, you know, principal pay down and stuff. So that was a big aha for me that if we were trying to do it the old way, we would move slower and also not be making all the ways that you can make money off single family.
Great. Good ideas. So when you're watching these, is the wife right there with you, or is she a disbeliever, or is she, you know, where's your wife in all this?
She's on board. She wanted to get on the call today, but she's a school teacher, so she couldn't get away from the kiddos. But
gotcha.
She's right there with me. So
okay, good. So let's talk about then doing it on the four part. Is, by the way, for those of you that are listening, you can take the two-day class either live, go there and visit one of the cities we're having it in. We have it in four different cities every month. And then, or you can watch it live in 2 days. The 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, is when the way most people take it. And you can watch that online and just sit there for 2 days in front of your computer, which has got to be hard to do. Or you can take it in the four part. And how long was the four part? What time did it start and what time did it end and what days was it?
It was Tuesday and Wednesday, 2 weeks in a row. And I believe it was from 6 to 10, I want to say.
Okay.
It's been about a year and a half since we did it.
And how did you find that as far as the four part? How did it work for you?
It worked good for us. Like I said, we had two small kids, so being able just to put them to bed and, you know, have a good quiet house to sit down in and watch it, it worked well for us. I think I'm more type A, so I'm up moving around the house, walking around. I don't really sit still while I'm watching the video, so I think it was good for me to be at the house and watch it so I could move around and get excited about all the information I was learning.
That's funny. All right, so you watched it. Was there anything else you came out of it that really caught your attention?
Another thing that I use a lot is the return on net worth. I like numbers. I'm a engineer, so like I love playing around with numbers, and I've never really, that formula that we use of calculating your net worth and then figuring out your passive income and then looking at how much your assets are making you, like that was a big one for me because it gives me a number that I can look at to see how well we're doing.
It's pretty scary, isn't it, when you see that the average person makes less than 1% on their whole net worth?
Yep. Yeah, our very first time calculating it was super easy for us because we didn't really have anything to put on that top line.
Yeah, return on investment, zero. There we go.
Mm-hmm, yep.
That's, you know, that's more people than you think, though. I mean, it really is. Most people, in fact, I was talking to somebody the other day on a consultation, and it was like, okay, you've got $1 million worth of assets, but you're paying in on everything. There's nothing coming to you. Everything, you know, he's paying $600 a month for health, life insurance. He was paying, you know, something a month for his 401k he's paying into. He's paying into his IRA. You know, everything he had as an investment, he was paying into, and nothing was, you know, bringing money out. Go. How did you find your first deal, and where is it at?
All right. So we started saving up, and there's another guy in our area who's looking into doing real estate. So we've been talking with him, going back and forth, and just looking at a few houses. And we looked at a few houses in our area and ran some numbers, and we just couldn't ever get the numbers to make sense. Well, then one day I'm headed home, and there's a house right up the road from my house, and I saw it, and it just hit me. I was like, I never seen anybody living there. So I went on the tax website around here and pulled it up, found out who owned it, asked around if anybody knew that person, and then got in contact with them. And I said, hey, you think about selling that house? And then he said he actually had thought about selling it. So we talked with him, went over there and looked at it, ran the numbers on it, and it looked like a good deal. So we bought a house that was just a mile up the road from ours.
Now, was this an investor that owned it, or just somebody had an extra house for some reason?
He did rent it out some. I think he owned it, and his kids lived there for a little while, and then once they moved off, he rented it for a little bit, And then it was, I think the last people who lived there had done run it down a little bit, and they were in the process of fixing it back up, but they were doing all the work themselves. And I think they were just tired of the work and was wanting to get rid of it.
Man, that's amazing. Can you imagine, you've got something, it's in front of you, and you don't see the worth. You can't see it. You know, if you're born with a hammer in your hand, everything looks like a nail. You got to get in there and work. It becomes work. It's not an investment. It's just, that's amazing. And yet you, sitting from the outside because you had a little bit of training, could see the value of that thing just sitting there, and he can't see the value. That's just amazing. There it is. It's right there. He's got it. You don't. He can't capitalize on it. You do. So tell us about the house. What size was it?
It's a 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,800 square foot. So it's a little bigger house. It had a carport they had closed in and made another bedroom. Built in 1950, sitting on 1 acre, brick siding on the outside, and needed a whole new kitchen. And actually, the guy that we bought it from, I say it's a 3-bed, 2-bath. It was originally a 3-bed, 2-bath. They had taken the tub and the sink and the toilet out of one bathroom, left all the plumbing, just capped the plumbing, and then walled it up and made another closet. So we got it. And
you got to be kidding me. Really?
Yep.
That's amazing. Just think about how uneducated, I'm going to say it, just dumb as a rock that is, because you add an extra bathroom. It's almost the most utilitarian thing in a house is to have 2 bathrooms instead of one. It makes the house worth so much more. So, all right, you bought it. It was all destroyed. Let's talk about the numbers for just a second. What did you buy it for, and what was the after repaired value?
All right, so this is our first deal. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a home run. We're still, you know, getting our feet wet. We bought it at $90,000, and the ARV came back at $138,000 on it.
That's tight because of all that rehab you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
How much rehab did you do on it?
We did $26,000 in rehab.
All right. So, yeah, that's real tight on that one right there. Mm-hmm. When you're done with it, what did it look like?
Like the inside, like visually how it looked or the number?
Yeah, was it nice or?
Yeah, it was nice. We put we're going to keep the old cabinets in there, but the way they were custom built and the heights on them were off, so we ended up having to tear the cabinets out. We put new cabinets, new countertop. It actually had really good floors in it, so we only had to put floors in the kitchen. And then the turning the closet back into a bathroom wasn't much. We just had to, because all the plumbing was still there, all we had to do was take down the siding and put the tub and sink and toilet in there. And then other than that, it was just painting. So, I mean, the inside wasn't real bad. It just really needed to be cleaned. And then the kitchen and that one bathroom was really the big projects.
Okay. How long did it take you to do that?
It took them about 4 weeks to get that one done.
And I assume when you say that, you didn't do it. This was it. You didn't fall into the same trap of trying to do it yourself.
I didn't do any work on the house.
Good. How'd you finance this project?
So we had talked to some hard money lenders, and something that I wasn't aware of before I talked to hard money lenders was a rural stipulation. I learned about that talking with some of them. So this house was actually rural, so a lot of them wouldn't cover us, and we were getting close to closing. We're already on the contract, getting close closing. So I talked to my community bank there in Meridian, and they actually worked up something with us where they loaned us 85% on the lesser of the ARV or the total project. So in this situation on this house, the total project was $90,000 plus $26,000, so $116,000, which is less than ARV of $138,000. So they loaned us 85% of the $116,000. So,
okay. So that's interesting because really, I've never purchased rental property in a rural area. That's not something we specialize in. We really specialize in working in cities for various reasons. That's one I've never even heard of, the rural financing. They won't, hard money lenders won't finance there. Did they tell you why they won't finance there?
I think it just has to do with the sale comps. The sale comps are kind of across the county and not really, you know, just right there on that street or a couple streets over. It's hard to find a... Yep.
That makes sense. So being out in the middle of nowhere in the rural, as you call it, what was the ability to rent that thing? That's an interesting call there.
So the reason we're out in the countryside is we live in Meridian, Mississippi, which is not a very nice town. So all of our really good school districts that everybody's trying to get in are in the county surrounding Meridian. So everyone's trying to get out there to get in that school district. So, we were able to get good. I mean, we got We get $1,480 a month for this house out in the country. So
wow, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. So let's talk about your numbers. Did you end up having any positive gain on this after all that, or not?
Yeah, we had so purchase 90, rehab 26. We captured 22,000 of equity. So
okay, 22,000 equity. And what did you come out of pocket for that?
26,000
to do the whole deal. How much?
26,000.
All right. So you had almost 100% gain. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out fine. So what about the cash flow? What are you doing cash flow wise on this?
So we cash flow $299 a month. So 13.8% cash on cash.
13.8 a month. Okay.
No,
that's better than a savings account by about three times there. That's good.
Right.
That's real good. So after you completed it, what were your thoughts? You know, you've done one. What were you thinking at this point? Should I have done something differently? Boy, that was good. That was easy. No, that was hard. It's terrible. That's what I'm going to ask when we come back. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Clint Taylor and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Clint Taylor out of Meridian, Mississippi. And Clint had shared with us the information of his first deal in the last segment. Now we want to talk about, how did you feel about this? I mean, what was going through your head after you completed your first deal, Clint?
After we got on the backside of it and it was done, looking back, it was like, wow, that was a lot easier than I expected it to be. So we did all of this just off the knowledge we gained from the four-part we took. There were a few things in there along the way where I was like, we need to upgrade and get a mentor, because I'd love to be able to call a mentor right now and ask about this, but even with just the knowledge we gained from the four-part, I mean, just going out there and doing it, it was a lot easier than you expect it to be. And any fears you have, I mean, as you go out there and just do it, they kind of just settle in, go away, and you're like, I can do this.
Great. So let's talk about the next one. How long after that did you come up with the next one?
Okay, so we rented the first one out in June of 2024, and then we found the next one in September and got under contract and closed on it in October of 2024, the end of October. That one we found, I had a buddy that I'd been talking to who knew that I was looking for houses, and he actually had a grandpa who worked with this lady at the post office, and she was wanting to get rid of a house. She had bought it for her sons to fix up, kind of the same situation. She had bought it for her sons to fix up. Her sons got into it and realized they did not want to do that, and so he got her in contact with me, and we went and looked at it and ran the numbers on it, and that one blew the first deal out of the water, and we were like, all right, we need to get this house. So we got it under contract and closed on it in October.
Great. Let's talk about those numbers then, since it blew it out of the water, because the first one's pretty good. It's almost 100% return. What did this one do?
So this one, she was asking around 64. We went and looked at it, and we got her talked down. We got her to get it to us at $52,500.
Now, what size house was this, and what age was it?
This is a four-bedroom, two-bath, same 1,800 square foot, and it was a 1957, I believe is what it was, 1957.
Okay.
So we got under contract $52,500, and the rehab we knew was going to be pretty big. We got the rehab quote back, and we ended up doing $50,000 in rehab on it. But the ARV on it was $170,000.
Wow, that's amazing. So did you get to use a hard lender this time, or were you still rural?
We're still rural. We did the same thing with the community bank. So
okay. So let's talk numbers after it came out the other side. What did you buy it for? What did you rehab it for? And what was the captured equity on this deal?
All right. So we bought it at 52.5, 50,000 in rehab, ARV at 170. And then so we captured 67,000 in equity, and we only came out of pocket 27,000. So roughly a 250% return.
Now, you got to be thinking to yourself, where has this been my whole life, huh?
That's right. I mean, and to think about how I was thinking about doing it before I know what I know now, I mean, it's just, you know, night and day on how to do real estate.
Unbelievable. 250% captured equity. And or you'd still be saving up for that first house if you're doing it the Dave Ramsey way. What would you say to people who are sitting out there right now, hunkered down on Dave Ramsey?
I'd just say, I mean, there's more ways to do it that'll get you there faster. I tell people here around me right now that, you know, I think Dave's good at getting you out of credit card debt and stuff like that. If you're really in a bind, you get out of credit card debt. But I was like, investing, there's other ways out there that can get you your money now. You can use your money now instead of having to wait until you're 65 or 70.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So let's talk about the rental on this one.
All right. So we cash flow $660 a month on this one. So that's right there, right at 29% cash on cash return.
You make what? You make $660 a month on that? That's unbelievable. Yep. And that's 29% return on your $20,000. That's unbelievable. 30% cash flow. I don't think I've heard that in a long time. That's really good. So I think I'm going to start investing rural, huh? We're going to go rural now?
Our game plan over here is to find the good school districts where we are. That's what's been working for us here. So.
Gotcha. That's amazing. So what all did you do to the house for $50,000 of renovation? That's a lot of renovation. What all did you have to do?
So we had to put brand new subfloor in. So we had to build the floor from bottom up.
Excuse me. Is this pier and beam?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, so you had to replace the floor because there was no foundation. The foundation was on the piers. Did you have to replace any of the piers?
Some of them had to be replaced, yes, sir. Not all of them, but some of them did.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know what pier and beam is, the house actually sits up on top of blocks. It doesn't sit down on the ground. And the subfloor has to be good. I mean, because if you're sitting up on blocks, it's not like sitting on concrete. You can be sitting on concrete, and the frame could be old and feeble, won't go anywhere. But on blocks, it will fall apart. So you replace the floor. What else do you do?
We had to put a brand new HVAC in. They had just put a new roof on it, so we didn't have to do a roof. Complete new kitchen. The kitchen was just bare bones when we went in there. There was actually a fridge in there, and I took a guy to go look at it with me, to walk the house with me, and he walked straight for that fridge, and I was like, no, don't open the fridge. So he learned that one the hard way. But brand new kitchen. had to redo both bathrooms. We had to replace drywall in three out of the four bedrooms, paint the whole house, and then get the outside pressure wash. It's the siding on the house, so we just got it pressure washed and cleaned up real good. And then we had to get the driveway freshened up because you couldn't drive on it after a good rain.
Oh, really? What kind of driveway was it? Crushed stone or concrete or what?
Yeah, it was
asphalt.
It was gravel, but there wasn't much gravel left. It was all pretty much washed away.
Gotcha. So did you go back with gravel?
We did.
Okay, gotcha. Been there, done that. I've had gravel driveways before. All right. So how long did this rehab take?
This one took 6 weeks.
Okay. Now, how long did it take to rent it?
To rent it, we closed on it on October 22nd, and we actually had it rented the next week, and so we had it rented the week that rehab was supposed to start on the house. We had somebody wanting to rent it.
So you actually listened to the seminar. It's always amazing to me that people don't listen to that part of the seminar, and they don't try to rent it until after they've done the rehab. I've always rented my houses before I even was done with the renovations, or even sometimes before I even closed on them, because I was always trying to rent it in advance. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm glad you picked that up. So you got it rented right away. Now, I assume you couldn't let the tenant move in until the rehab was done, right? 6 weeks later, you rented it in
That's
two
right.
weeks. So what was their motivation for waiting? I want people to see this. I mean, I understand why they would, but you tell us why the person was willing to wait 4 weeks to move in.
They were actually moving back to Mississippi from Florida, and the house they rent in Florida, their lease didn't run up until the end of November, so they had to wait and get out of that lease anyway. But then in our area, I mean, it's really just you can't find good housing in the good school districts, and these people had two kids who are in school, and we really just wanted to get in the school district. So when a house popped up in that nice area, then, you know, they just wanted to jump on it and were willing to wait. So I guess really location is what location of the house.
Well, there's many factors there that you've already stated. You got to put them all together. But one is people don't realize that if you have the best product, best price out there, that in itself will bring people to you instantly. There's just not that much good product out there. Specifically in an area where there's very little product like yours, that is even more of a draw. In everywhere we rent properties, people want to rent in advance because they got to give notice to get out of their old lease, at least 30 days, sometimes 60. So that is another reason why you can rent it instantly like that in advance. And they know everything's going to be brand new because you're just doing the renovation. So it's going to be incredibly nice when they get it. So, Clint, now that you have two properties, what is the total cash flow between the two of them per month?
So the total would be $959.
So I remember when I first started, and I had to buy four houses to get that much cash flow. In fact, it wasn't even that much in just four houses when I bought them. I remember my thoughts. What thoughts are you having going through your mind when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have $1,000 a month coming to you instead of you getting up and going to work for $1,000 a month?
Well, first thing I think of is we can move a lot faster than I ever thought we could. You know, the how we used to think back in the day, now since we have this coming in and we're not even having to work for it, then we can move faster and we'll be able to multiply a lot quicker.
Okay. And envisioning your goal, by the way, we didn't really speak about what your goal was. I know your goal was to have X number of houses, but what is the end result goal you might be looking for someday in the future?
Me and my wife go back and forth on who will get to retire first, but we have some land here, and one of my goals is to be able just to retire from corporate America and then be able to, you know, work on our land and be able to manage it a little bit and basically just have the time to spend with our kids and not miss out on anything. Me and my wife both want to travel in the future, so hopefully when our kids get a little older, we'll have the time to be able to travel and see places and experience stuff with our kids.
Sounds just like the kind of feelings I had. I just wanted to have my free time back, wanted to be able to do what I want to do. I spend my time in my yard every day. I get up and I do a walkabout, is what I call it, with my cup of coffee and my three dogs. And we just walk the whole, you know, landscape here. It's just unbelievable, my house. So I get that. I also understand traveling. We do travel all the time also. We're getting ready to go back to Paris again. So we came back from Italy. So travel's fun. All those are great things. We love those. Let's talk about what you're looking forward to doing to get there. I mean, are you going to stick with houses? Is that your goal?
Right now, like, our short-term goal is to try to get three more single-family houses this year. But we're not trying to stick with single-family. We actually upped our membership last September of October to preferred. So we're planning on getting three more single-family houses this year, and then we're wanting to try to get into our first passive deal and then maybe learning more of the multifamily side and looking into being an IRO one day, maybe in the coming years.
Okay. Well, if you're doing that, then you'd be working with me because I work with the IRO, so that's good. Let's talk about, if you could, what your friends and family thought of you doing this. Do you have anybody question your process here?
I don't think they really question us. It's just more of the, we're going to sit back and see, you know. Because we've tried other things in the past, so it's kind of like, all right, yeah, you've said you're going to do a lot of stuff. Let's see how this plays out before we get too excited about it. So nobody really questions us. They just want to see the proof first.
Gotcha. All right. So $1,000 a month cash flow, that's got to be some proof, you know. It's a start.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely starting to ask a few more questions. I even have the guy we get insurance on our houses for is a guy I actually went to school with, and now he's just starting to ask questions too. So people start to notice whenever you start making a little moves.
Gotcha. So let's talk about how you go about finding houses. Two of them so far you just had somebody refer to you. Do you have any other process you use to find deals?
We go on Zillow and we narrow down our searches on Zillow. We as we go to town and stuff, you know, we're looking around and we'll make notes of houses and see who owns them and try to call them up that way. So mainly just riding around, seeing if we see anything, Zillow, and then word of mouth.
Gotcha. Now, you said you were an engineer. Is that what you said you were?
Yes, sir.
And the wife's a teacher?
Yes, sir.
All right. So just hardworking, middle-class American. What happens when you get rich?
I don't know. Right now, it's just a dream, but it seems like it's more becoming more realistic. I guess I'm not real sure. We'll have time. We'll have to figure out what to do with that time.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of messing with you a little bit there because the reality is you don't really see it. It's like anything else in life. It comes, it hits you exponentially because the more money you make, you know, obviously you were saving before, you were living frugally, you were saving. I assume you're still living frugally and saving, but now you've got an extra $1,000 a month to dump on top of that savings. So it the ability to get to the next deal becomes faster and faster and faster the more positive cash flow you have. And then one day you wake up and boom, you know, you get 20 units and you're making, you know, tremendous amount of money. You got two, you're making 1,000. So let's imagine you had 20, you know, 10,000 a month. That's unbelievable. That would be a great thing to have, right? In fact, you get, it'd be only 10 if you did as well as the ones you've done. And it seems like that's the model out there because there's just not a lot of product available. You might have struck a gold mine out here.
We'll see. We're building up the fund right now, so hopefully we can find the next house, and hopefully it stays on track.
So I bought a bunch of stuff in small towns before, and there were a couple times when I bought stuff in unincorporated areas, and it behooved me to turn them into subdivisions for the ability to get public utilities to them and so forth. And when I did that, I always thought this, the greatest dream I had was to have a subdivision called Delville, and then owned the gas station on the corner and the grocery store on the other corner. And everybody that lived in my place had to live in my place and eat my food and buy my gas. And I would be a little mini entrepreneur, right? Little mayor of my own town, Delville. So don't think you can't do it because it's out there. And if you keep going the way you're going, man, it's going to grow exponentially and it's going to be a good thing. So, Clint, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate sharing your story with us. And the rest of you out there, think about what he did in just a short period of time. And remember, it's not just the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.